January 18th, 2009, you are listening to the TeeFormers.com podcast. Welcome to the TeeFormers.com podcast. I'm your host, Iron High 1975, and back, oh dear God, he's back yet again.
Guten Tag, Herr Iron High. It is Eyes Piper.
All right, so you can't do those voices. That's just going to make me crack up at the beginning of the show, which may not necessarily be a bad thing. But all right, we have the German Autobot Z Piper, or Decepticon, would it be?
Yes, I am operating at 90% efficiency today. I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm okay for the most part.
Well, that's okay. We only require at least 50% here to perform. And, you know, the comedy is grade B, but hoping for grade A.
Yeah, hell, we phone it in. What are you talking about?
Literally.
Literally.
All right, well, the Transformer news is very, very, lots of long stories this week.
Yay.
So they'll give you a chance to sort of warm up your pipes and whatnot. So
wonderful.
So moving on to, of course, Transformers movie news. Oh, we're getting closer and closer, folks. Can you feel it? Can you feel the anticipation coming? And, of course, new rumors, Revenge of the Fallen storyline with the Super Bowl teaser airtime.
Yes, some new rumors of the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen have popped up on the interwebs, dealing with plot points and characters. Other discussions include the airing of a teaser bit during the Super Bowl and the persistent Superion rumors that none of us so far really have believed anyway. So first, we should get the juicy stuff, and some information comes from Totemus Prime, who has posted some storyline rumors told to him by an unknown or undocumented source, and the rumors are posted below. So, of course, this goes without saying that it is a spoiler alert, so skip the chapter if and you don't want to hear it.
And the spoilers are, the film opens up with the U.S. military teaming up with the Autobots, who are all military vehicles, to hunt down the rogue Decepticon. Springer is one of them, and this is in China. Wheelie, or Wheels, is a blue remote control car and very small Transformer. He discovers Jetfire at the museum by driving underneath him and seeing the Decepticon symbol. There's a scene where Alice pins Sam to the bed, and a tail with a
hyperdermic sharp pointy thing.
I almost had it now. Don't do that. Comes out of her back. She is also has a giant tongue, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
The twins are important characters who fight each other a lot and can combine. Devastator looks like a gorilla and has a cement mixer drum in the center of his chest, which he can use as a weapon.
All right, go ahead. No, finish reading them, and then I'll...
All right, possibly Superion is the Autobot combiner, but he's a little vague on this. Megatron hasn't been in any of the film licensing stuff, just the toys. He saw a Decepticon hot rod model, but is convinced is part of a misinformation campaign.
So, for the most part, everything that, you know, was just said, you know, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, I guess I can deal with that. I mean, the twins, I guess it's going to be the usual. They're at each other's throat, but have an enduring love for each other and can pull it together when the time comes, like
right.
We haven't seen that before.
Right.
But Devastator as a gorilla with a cement mixer drum in his chest. So, the biggest, most awesome, the first gestalt we've turned into Donkey Kong.
No. I wouldn't say necessarily like he looks like a gorilla, but he's sort of bulky and built up like a gorilla from what I would guess. I don't think he transforms into a gorilla, but is just sort of like, you know, King Kong-ish is what I'm taking from that.
I mean, that to me, that would be a delicate line, because the second he pulls off his cement drum and rolls it down a hill to make masses, I'm like, really?
Did you see Devastator?
Really?
On a little side note, did you see Robot Chicken last week?
Which I've seen a few, but I usually catch them on Cartoon Network, so they're out of
order. Donkey Kong, Mario's up there. He's like, Donkey Kong, why are you throwing away the bears at the cost of gas? I'm going to take this with me and just go home.
He picks up the barrel
and walks away. It was hilarious.
I do remember that. Yeah, with the G.I. Joe where he took out, Fumbles took out the whole crew. I loved it. But that's
Fumbles. It's all those Fumbles.
yeah, that's a different thing. But yeah, okay. I mean, I'll be fine with everything. And a hot girl with a huge tongue, right on. I'm on board with that.
Oh,
but but yeah, just please don't turn Devastator into Donkey Kong.
Well, there's more information that will come that we have to later on in our reading. So let's finish up the news here, and then we'll continue on to that at a later point.
Oh, fine. Just shut me down. So most of the information does not vary widely from what we have previously heard. However, the Superion rumor is quite interesting. Mm. There is a large possibility that the character will not appear in the film, which is kind of being assumed. Most of the fandom, most likely thinks that as well. However, several entertainment websites, including IESB, have reported that Superion will make an appearance in the film, and the rumor above seems to add fuel to it. What the source saw is most likely just promotional material for the repainted figures. Next, from the Transformers live-action movie blog, they posted rumors of their own, including some rumors of the Megatron and Starscream duo, totally contradicting the previous rumors you've read by Totemus Prime from the source of the Todd reports.
No, I think source Todd reports. In other words, instead of Totemus Prime reporting, another guy named Todd is reporting.
Gotcha. So, yeah. So they're going to bring back Megatron, and the Starscream relationship will be more prominent than it was in the movie and much more like the G1 series. Also, it may be a three-way brawl with the Fallen posing a threat to both sides. So Todd also reports that he knows somebody who received promotional material that seems to indicate that the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen teaser, slated to air during the Super Bowl, will make an appearance sometime during the halftime. So as both of these sources are secondary sources, it's in your best interest to take them with a grain of salt.
So let's see here. We have Optimus combining with Jetfire, Devastator, Fallen, Starscream, Megatron. We have Soundwave. We have also the dynamic relationship between Sam and Michaela and possibly another. I think this is going to be about 3 hours now. What do you think?
Well, I'm really hoping that some of these things are not true, that they are literally chumming the water in hopes that you're going to kind of keep your eyes off some of the main focuses, because right now it's too much.
Yeah.
It is too much, and it's gonna be too varied. Like again, I said it before. It's just the Gestalt's fine, even a Pretender, okay, fine, but all the rest of the stuff, it's gonna be too much. I mean, it's like for the ADD crowd, and I don't like movies like that.
Yeah, and if they're not going to give enough time to these particular characters to... Well, you know what? Before I say that, let's read the next story, because Orsi confirms Revenge of the Fallen rumors talks about bot emotion.
Yeah, well, Roberto Orsi has confirmed two persistent Transformers Revenge of the Fallen rumors that have been floating around. One-third of the script-writing team for the Transformers sequel has confirmed that a new character and a new kind of Transformer will make an appearance in the film. Speaking with IGN Movies, Orsi confirmed that a Pretender will appear in the film. Quote, there is Pretender, he tells the entertainment website, and I'm going to get killed for saying that, he says. There has been a rumor floating around the internet that the Pretender will be Alice, played by Isabel Lucas. And evidence that Alice is not a goody-goody is the rumor, which surfaced yesterday, that in a specific scene in the film where she, quote, pins Sam to the bed and a tail with a hypodermic on it comes out of her back. Also, the rumor depicts her as having a giant tongue, as we previously just said. And further confirmation is found in a video clip by YouTube member Philly Film Girl, shot during the film's principal photography at Princeton University. Which and we is, talked about this previously, that, everybody's running in terror and she's just walking calmly. Mr. Orsi also seems to confirm that Ravage is in the film. And while the subtitle of the IGN Movies articles says that he has confirmed a Transformer in the singular tense, it can be construed one way or the other whether or not he actually confirms Ravage. So that's, you know, kind of being a little semantic there, but we'll see. So, you know, we got a few things from IGN and the Orsi interview. A couple quotes here. IGN is, last time we spoke, you revealed that Soundwave was in the movie and hinted at the possibility of Ravage. So I'm wondering if you can say anything more about what new characters will be in Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. And are you playing Mr. Orsi, sir?
Yes, I play Mr. Orsi. So I said Ravage, maybe?
Oh, that's excellent.
I just guess that that's how his voice goes.
Oh, I'm sure he would be pleased to be immortalized in that way. IGN response, pretty much, yeah.
As of doing a big reveal, Ravage.
Great. IGN laughs, haha. Damn, I should have told you that you said Ravage for sure. Okay, that's great.
Witty dialogue that is.
Wow. All right. Some other fan websites have reported that as confirmation. Reported that as confirmation, I should say. But we're not so sure. However, regardless, we're throwing it out there for you to determine it for yourself. Orsi also says that the Transformers in the film will show more emotion, mainly because of bases that were established, you know, from the original movie. So from what he said, and this is a quote, some of the new Transformers coming up, even the old Transformers that we had, have benefited from the fact that, and I actually heard this from ILM, because they had all the rendering and the stuff from the first movie. They were able to get much more specific and articulate with their range of motion and emotions in the second movie, which has a bigger budget, and it has all of the research and development sunk into the original models. So there's going to be more articulation of the characters facially, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. I have not seen how far they've taken it. And, you know, to me, that goes without saying. I mean, that's why any of these big budget, you know, huge amount of pre-production movies, they usually go for the trifecta anyway, at least three movies, because most of the money comes from, you know, original, you know, building the models and the time. And so they've got the models, and why not add a few more polygons or a little more inverse kinematics here and there for some better movement? And, yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, first off, I'm not sure if I like Ravage as a pretender. That bugs me in several different ways. Because, you know, I think the pretender they should have saved for maybe, you know, the third movie or something like that. But, you know, then again, I think if they saved it for the third movie, that people would be saying it was a cop-out, you know, like, for example, Richard Pryor being in Superman 3. But I don't know. That in itself, it's like Ravage was part of Soundwave. You know, he should be part of, you know, just he should come out of Soundwave like Scorponok came out of Blackout. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. The idea that all of a sudden Ravage is this girl and then all of a sudden at some point he rips out of the body or something like that. I'm not sure how that's going to fare with me. And that better be really cool when I see it. Otherwise, I'm going to be like, blah.
See, now, you may be surprised about this, but
you like that idea.
Doesn't bother me. I don't necessarily know that I like it, but I don't disapprove of it. Because as long – like to me, if, you know, Ravage is like with Soundwave, like they're not necessarily a part of one another, you know, like the cassette, you know, thing was, but like they're part of the same crew, so to speak. Like, yes, we're the espionage team, you know, to me, that'll fit. I don't necessarily need him to go into Soundwave, but, you know, like the thought of Soundwave being the leader of like a small espionage team, you know, within the Decepticons, and each one having their own specific role, almost kind of like like a Navy SEAL team, that doesn't bother me at all. It really doesn't. And if you're going to have Pretenders in there, I think the cassettes are the most logical choice. You know, like I said, I still think that the Twins and the ice cream truck is ridiculous. I still Jetfire as, you know, anything else than grabbing a hold of Optimus and jetting him up, you know, but the whole transforming into my super backpack with Trapper Keeper, you know, no. But yeah, Ravage as a Pretender, I will buy, you know, okay. As like I said, because that just makes it, it just seems to be more logical to me than some of the other stuff we've heard.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they play it off. So I'm just thinking, I mean, maybe she's driving Soundwave, who is the truck that we saw. And that's sort of, she's, you know, that's how she's a part of Soundwave, which might be cool. But I don't know. It seems to me like we're getting further and further away from the essence of G1. But then again, what else are they going to do with Soundwave and Ravage, you know?
So. Well, I hope that we don't get too far away, because, I mean, we've only had one movie. And to me, there's still plenty to do with just big, whopping, great robots. I mean, I don't need, you know, Liquidus robots. I don't need human-looking robots. I mean, I'm still totally cool with two big metal behemoths beating the crap out of each other.
Well, let's we'll tell you what. Let's hold a table that big metal behemoth, and let's come back to that when we get to the toy section, because we have some spoilers there as well. But switching over to cartoon news really quickly here. Anime Perceptor, spoiler alert, is a triple changer. And Unicron.com has posted three images of the Transformers Anime Perceptor design, which reveals that the character is a triple changer. For the vehicle mode, the character will sport a futuristic pickup truck design. His microscope will be in the truck bed. And his robot mode was previously viewed by Derek Wyatt himself. But this new image does provide a close-up of the head design. The microscope mode is quite unique. It looks as if the bed opens up to reveal a computer console in the truck bed, and the wheel and the four wheels fold down, hubcap to the ground, and stabilization struts come out to keep the truck from moving. And of course, you can view these images on tformers.com. Now, I don't know if I would necessarily call him a triple changer, because to me, a triple changer is two different vehicles. I would say he has an alt mode, which is alt mode is basically transforming into a portable computer bed, maybe.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, because, you know, to me, a true triple changer are three. I don't want to use the word functional mode, because, you know, all three of his modes are functional. But I agree that really it's just, and I think this is something like, even when I was, you know, a wee young lad, I always felt bad for Transformers like Blaster and Perceptor, because they're robots and then they transform into a completely immobile something. Right. Everybody else gets to be jets and cars, and, you know, and Perceptor always, I mean, this is maybe, you know, slightly, you know, who gives a crap, but when I was little, you know, like the Transformers, they all, you know, they had their little binoculars with their supervision, or they had all these other little things that would, in my mind, basically duplicate the effect of a microscope. And I always thought Perceptor kind of got the shaft, kind of like Stan from the Wonder Twins, you know, like form of a bucket of water, yoo-hoo! And
what, seriously? You may be a microscope. A microscope.
Right, a microscope. Yeah. But at least this, he can turn into a truck, which, you know, he can drive around and actually not be carried by the other Transformers. And, you know, well, hey, we've got a little analyzation computer bay to still keep in line with the original theme. So I like it. I like what they've done with it.
Well, the original Perceptor did sort of have tracks on him. And in a couple episodes, he did actually transform and move around in, like, large microscope mode.
Yeah, and how stupid was that?
Well, it was, how inconsistent was the original cartoon to begin with?
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing. I'm looking at this going, I am darn curious how they're going to make a toy out of this. Because in robot mode, he looks like he's, like, you know, bulimic. And then truck mode, he looks like he's all bulked up, you know. And then, but then I'm thinking, well, we saw, oh, God, I am just not getting anybody's name today. Oh, Swindle. I saw Swindle went, how are they going to make him into a toy? And lo and behold, they made him into a pretty, pretty accurate toy. So I am darn curious to see how this becomes a toy, because this just looks His transformation is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think it looks really cool, and I'm very pleased with his robot mode, actually. He reminds me very much of, like, the, like, old-style Cybertron citizenry, so to speak, right. You know. You know, with the domed head and whatnot. And I pretty much enjoy every aspect of this toy that I've seen. Now, granted, these are just renderings. We have no idea how the toy is actually going to look.
Right.
But this looks great.
Well, I'm also looking at, it's interesting to view how sort of the style sheets are created for these characters that are being leaked out of, which Cartoon Network studios are probably going, who's leaking this stuff? Unless they're purposely doing it. But it's sort of neat to see how the, you know, how the setup for these characters are done. So,
absolutely.
Be nice if some point somebody put these into a book at a later point.
Yeah. And it'll be nice too if they do, if they actually do make the, you know, Perceptor microscope functional for the kids. I mean, it's probably only going to be like a 3x plastic lens, but, you know, something they can look through. Be cool.
Well, the original one was functional to some extent, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I know. I didn't have him, but my friend did. And I'm trying to remember, and I'm sure, again, somebody can correct me on this, but I do believe that he had – I thought that he had multiple powers. I mean, they weren't anything impressive, you know,
right.
But it was cool to do.
Zoomed in and zoomed in a little bit more.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all we have for the news this week for the cartoon stuff. A lot of other stuff transcends into toy news, which is kind of hard to separate. But to news, say toy news, and we have, and this is.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to love this, Jace.
Oh, yeah. Dairy Con.
2009 exclusive prototype revealed.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. Looks like the word and pictures are out for the DairyCon 2009 exclusive. Said to be offered as a special item, it will be available as a shared exclusive at the 2009 DairyCon, CybCon, and Dutch BotCon regional Transformer events. So the images reveal an unnamed prototype of the Beast Machines, brace yourself, Battle Unicorn, done up black and silver black metal. The robot image is kind of dark and looks unfinished, so it's a bit hard to tell what we're seeing for sure.
Background music done by America.
Yeah. The alternate Beast Horse mode shows the figure with a real fur mane. How cool is that? And in addition, if you, you know, scratch under his little chin there, he gives nourishing milk out of his teats, and he shoots glitter out of his ass for all of your crafting needs. According to Cyber... I'm sorry, I lied about that last bit. According to Cybertron, sources within the organization confirmed that this was, in fact, one of the exclusive items being offered at this year's DairyCon. If you are curious about this toy and the entire DairyCon universe, here's an explanation from their site. DairyCon is an alternate universe where Wisconsin trans fans and their Transformers play. Collected here are the stories and characters that make up this unique cheddar-themed universe. DairyCons, as I affectionately call these characters, are the exclusive toys and only available at the DairyCon convention. DairyCon 2009 is free to attend on Friday and Saturday because we couldn't charge admission. April 24th and 25th, 2009 at the Ramada Plaza Hotel, Regency Suites, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Their 9th annual event. Wisconsin Transformers fans will be treated to dealers' tables, Transformers videos, and special DairyCon exclusive items like wonderfully preformed pats of butter in the form of Megatron's head, and activities available to those who pre-register. Check out the details at DairyCon 2009 website. Wow, I need a moment alone in the bathroom after all.
I think fans everywhere should be applauding Z Piper right now for that. Well done, performance. Well done, lad.
No, I mean, I
don't forget to see Z Piper's One Mad Show. I am at DairyCon this Friday at the Funny Bone.
Oh my God! I'm sorry. I mean, I know I'm sorry, DairyCon peoples, those that go and enjoy this, but it just it's funny as hell to me. I mean, it's DairyCon, and the Transformer is a magical unicorn.
Well,
with
I mean,
real
look
fur.
At, But looking at the toy, though, it looks really well done. I love the toy. I mean, it looks completely humorous, but, you know, if it was some weird, I don't know, I Little Pony nightmare, My Little Pony nightmare, you know, I would love this. I mean, the toy looks great, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. It reminds me of... now I'm forgetting the name of that show from the 80s. Brave Star. It reminds me of something like from the Brave Star universe. But I don't know. I mean, I just can't get past Dairy Con and Butter Cows and, you know, Glitter Out the Arse.
Talk about marketing. I mean, they've gotten definitely our attention just by going by that. But
oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, it's their 9th annual event. So obviously there's enough fans who enjoyed Cheddar Cheese Transformers to, you know, keep.
I just think shoots glitter out the butt is the funniest thing I've heard. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, yeah, check out that photo. And, you know, write to us in the forums and tell us what you think about that, because some of this stuff is just wild, but
yes.
All right. Well, moving on, we have some more images we have images of the revealed Revenge of the Fallen Combiner. And we reported earlier that AC Toys has posted some rather spoiler-ish images of a mystery Transformers 2 Combiner. The poster has now come back to give us a second round, revealing even more information. This new batch provides us further hints that this vehicle is part of the Constructicons and will form Devastator in the Transformers sequel. The new images show that the alternate mode is indeed a face shovel construction vehicle. Now, looking at these images, it's kind of hard to see what's going on here. It definitely looks like we have one part of maybe Devastator. And which, by the way, if this is one part of Devastator here, oh my God, this is going to be huge. This may be like the master guy of Devastator. I don't know yet. Jace, what do you think of looking at these? Besides, good God, what bed sheets were they using to put these characters on?
I was going to say, yeah, this is, yeah, good choice. I mean, it's like you can hardly make out. I mean, it's really disturbing as far as trying to make out some of the lines of them because of the funky, crazy tie-dye Grandma Rose thing.
You see the face of the character, which is a little bit gorilla-esque, but I think it's just the way that it's just that, you know, trying to combine Transformers to look more alien and not necessarily a human face than necessarily trying to make it a gorilla face.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a little hard to comment on any of the photographs except the one at the end, you know, where he's the actual, you know, steam shovel, where he's fully, you know, in vehicle mode, because it's just really hard to kind of see what's going on.
Right.
I mean, the vehicle mode looks fine. It doesn't look like the treads move, though, so I'm hoping that they at least have those chintzy little spindle wheels on the bottom so that he can move. I mean, I prefer, you know, I'd pay more if they actually did do the nice rubber treads and it actually, you know, you could push it along, but, you know, not going to see that.
Yeah, it looks like he doesn't have the transformation quite right on this yet.
Yeah. So I mean... Yeah, I apologize. It's a little hard for me to comment because it's really hard for me to really kind of see what's going on to give it a fair, you know, wag or a shake.
Well, I mean, looking at the size comparison with the other toys, if, you know, and this is going to be one part of Devastator, and Devastator is going to be 7 vehicles.
It's going to be big then, maybe.
That's going to be awesome. Unless this is the big one, everything else are tiny ones, which would be disappointing.
I'd love to see another huge Transformer, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Devastator, but the fact that he was only a few inches taller than Prime when he was all put together was a bit disappointing.
Right. Well, you know, of course, that was the first toy, you know, combiner toy way back when. But
I know, but even Metroplex is only, you know, a few heads taller than Prime.
I'm thinking in terms of the size, because they have to meet safety requirements for some of these toys.
Oh, yeah. You don't want them falling over and bruising a child, heaven forbid.
Yeah. I'm thinking this may be one of those where this is the large boss, the leader, and then the rest of the construction vehicles will be smaller ones.
Yeah, like the core.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But Anyhow, go check out this toy and check out the fancy bedspreads that this person. Seriously, was it too hard to put a white sheet down before you took the photographs? I mean, geez.
Seriously.
It's like my grandma's bedspread from the 1950s. So, no, but thank you for, yeah, now that person's going to come back at me. It's like, I'm going to kill you. So, all right, moving on. Getting away from my bad humor. All right, more Revenge of the Fallen Fab Megatron images. Courtesy of the Archer, we have new looks at the Transformers sequel Fast Action Battle Megatron figure. The images focus specifically on the tank mode of the little figure. For a look at the robots mode, take a look at, just take a look at all these photos at tformers.com. And, once again, you know, this is interesting. If this is the biggest ploy to get us turned off that Megatron will not be in the movie, then kudos to, you know, Bay & Co. for, you know, leading us astray. You know, in terms of if this was actually going to be Megatron, I'm torn. The toy looks a little small, in my opinion.
You know what my guess is for all of this, you know, stuff with Megatron is that he's not dead. He's just deactivated currently. He most likely will not be in the main portion of the movie.
That's what I'm guessing as well. He's going to appear at the end, maybe.
Yeah, like they, you know, one of the last ones, they go down after having their butts handed to them by whatever, and they find him and then reactivate him right at the end, and then it's the usual, you know, like, yes, it's good to be back, and, you know, fade to black or something like that.
Yes, once again, if, like, you have these big giant robots you want to get rid of, why would you not split the pieces up and shoot them into space instead of just dropping them at the bottom of probably the largest chasm in the Earth, and then, you know, not expect these giant robots with, you know, superpowers not to go down and get him?
Yep.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know, it's definitely going to be interesting. I don't mind Megatron as a tank. I think that's a nice homage to Generation 2, where G.I. Joe rebuilt him. The toy itself looks kind of cool. I'm definitely curious to see how this pans out. I'm curious if this is the actual final colors for this toy, because if it is, I'm a little bit disappointed in terms of the color scheme. But I'm guessing that this is a prototype version.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be very easily, but grayish and black. I mean, I can see it.
No, see, I'm looking at the bottom now. It looks pretty colored. This might be it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. We got an actual photo of the copyright on this toy. It's like 2008 Hasbro Incorporated, 2009 Tomy. Or that might be an A2. But, man, that's a... Talk about detail. Thank you, photographer.
Yeah, these are good photos.
So, all right. Well, moving on. We also have Alternity A01 Convoy, now available in Super Black. Transformers spots a big bad toy store. Has posted a pre-order on the website for Takara Tomy's Alternity A01 Nissan GT-R Convoy in Super Black.
Wow, that needs a longer title.
I'm out of breath. Can we just say Convoy?
Big black truck, now blacker.
You can't say. Well, I'm surprised they're calling it black because there's a whole negative connotation with that name.
It's a color.
I know, but you have to call it Nemesis or Dark Convoy or something like that because there's a bad connotation with that in, you know, American society. The price tag is slightly higher than the other versions of the Convoy, but we're not exactly sure what it means. The figure is slated for the June 2009 release. Well, marketing has shown us that you could take the same Macintosh, put a little black coloring into it, and sell it for more money. So that's probably why it's cost more money, folks.
Yep.
All right. And now on to new Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Scout Gallery.
All right, we have seen the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Scout class action figures in various forms, colors, and completeness. So thanks to Chenkovs over at tfclub.com, who has posted a gallery of all four of the Scouts that look to be fully finished production versions, or pretty close to it. The images show the forklift Dirt Boss, delivery truck Roll Bar, and Red Racer Dead End in glorious details. For real, Hasbro You are kicking some serious ass here. This is, you know, from the poster, obviously. These are some of the coolest scouts that they've ever made. They're especially digging the dead end with the Cybertronian race car, and what they see is a very well-articulated robot mode with shoulder, elbow, and hand joints. The poster says, Dirt Boss looks great too. The forklift is such a wimpy alt mode, but it looks so much like a forklift, it's hard not to like it. The robot is cool as well. Not as well articulated, but they got to make sacrifices sometimes. Rollbar, according to the poster, is the most boring of them all. He's a box former with a nicer paint app in the alt mode, but the robot seems to be pretty meh, almost Happy Meal meh. The knockout figure, the green motorcycle, is amazing. This makes that RC motorcycle mold look like a joke. The bat head on the robot is so neat and filled with fun that they nearly hope that this guy is in the movie. So,
yeah,
yes.
These toys are really, really looking really nice. These photos are just top-notch quality photography. I mean, you see every detail of these photos.
Yes. And, you know, looking at the actual pictures, I guess I'm kind of agreeing with the poster. I think that he pretty much hit the stuff pretty much dead on.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to have a ton of great toys, and I think they're a little more prepared this time around. So I'm definitely looking forward to actually picking up some of the movie toys because, one, they look a little bit more along the lines of the original classics line, and two, they just look freaking awesome. So,
absolutely.
But all right, well, we also have Classics Optimus Prime Trailer Accessory Red, Silver, and Nemesis Editions. And once again, a very long story, which is because it's so long and I stutter, I'm giving in to Z Piper.
All right. Thanks to Robot Kingdom, who has posted order pages and images for the fan-made Classic Optimus Prime trailer and accessories. So what's news is there will be two editions of the trailer, the Classic Red and Silver Prime version, as well as a Black Nemesis version. The pre-order pages also show us what the transforming trailer looks like inside. The base mode is reminiscent of a MicroMaster base, and as shown, it's in pretty good scale with deluxe class figures and can stow one or two figures in the trailer. The electronic detailings etched into the plastic is really a nice touch, much nicer than them just throwing in some cheesy stickers. Also, it looks to me like the far right panel is an extension to the platform. It may be not a ramp as shown with Bumblebee, or it may not be a ramp with, Bumblebee driving up into it. The mini crane and the extra storage bays are a real bonus too. Poster says, I still don't like a roller doubling as the trailer wheels. Oh, that's an interesting thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He also believes the alternate mode would look more unified if they moved the hitch back to close the gap between the cab and the trailer. He said, I photoshopped their image to show the comparison without the gap. And BTS, if you are reading this, please make the change. And these are being made by BTS.toy and will be available in April 2009 for $49.90.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. It's like, well, his change is, it wouldn't allow much room for the thing to move. You wouldn't be able to turn Prime without hitting the trailer. So I don't think they could do that. All in all, from what we can see from this prototype, it looks like a pretty interesting little toy here.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you know, this is still, you know, the unpainted version. But overall, not too bad, I must say.
Yeah, so, I mean, all in all, it looks like a pretty well-designed toy. I'm just, once again, I'm amazed at the amount of demands we have for Prime trailers. If I knew that this was such an in-demand market, I would have gone into business.
Made some out of cardboard and glitter from the DairyCon.
Well, no, I just would have gone into business to manufacture my own, but... needless to say, it's interesting nevertheless. So it'll be cool to see what this looks like when it's been fully painted. So I like the concept that rollers the back wheels. That's kind of new. So, but all right, we'll have to wait and see how this turns out.
All righty.
All right, first looks at Voyager, Hydro Drive, Bumblebee, and Goldfire Grimlock. So once again, this is this weekend.
Yay, repaints.
Justin, we've got some news and images giving us first looks at Transformers Animated Voyager Class, Goldfire, Grimlock, Redeco, and Hydro Drive. Super deluxe Chinese buffet.
Super deluxe happy family Hydro Drive Bumblebee. Yes.
Action figures will be coming in Wave 7 this May 9. As reported before, Hasbro was working on a Voyager class Hydro Drive Bumblebee figure. Now we know it will be coming in May of this year, packed 2 per case lot with the repaint of Voyager class Grimlock. The Hydro Drive Bumblebee is really something else with an accessory flight submarine upgrade. We'll guess is a Hydro Drive part of Bumblebee. I didn't catch it at first, but the Hydro Drive vehicle does look a lot like G1 Bumblebee. Bumblebee Cybertronian mode. The G1 version is on the right in the image. Well, you can look at the images that are attached to the story. Goldfire Grimlock looks to be more gold and black color, perhaps made after Generation 1 motif or some pending event in the show. I really don't know what to make of Bumblebee here.
Really? This, to me, is the closest thing that I have seen to that glut of really horrible Batman figures that we got in the 90s.
Yes.
Where it was like, oh, now he's got a glowing Gatling gun and a hang glider with camouflage. And this, to me, yeah, it's just like, take a good robot, slap some cheesy crap on him, and call him something else. This is, yeah.
Yeah, do we really need Bumblebee to go underwater, I'm presuming, is the effect here?
Yeah, boy, so. And I'm really glad that they got him a diving helmet, you know, because you need to have that oxygen for him to breathe.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I do have to say, though, looking down, I mean, yes, when we're talking about the comparison of Cybertronian Bumblebee, you know, his little Manta Ray version, that's not too bad. I mean, as far as like a little submarine figure, I don't mind that. And his regular strip all the crap off him version robot mode looks good.
Right.
But yeah, the super diving bell Aqua Teen awesomeness is...
Well, see, Bumblebee, we're the Aqua Teen. Oh, I'm sorry. I just had a. You said Aqua Teen. I had an excuse there for a second. But Jason's like, okay, reverting back, closing that door, walking away. All right. Yeah, I don't know. Once again, we'll have to wait and see how they play this off in the show. So,
well, hey, at least the advantage of a toy like this is, you know, if they do jump the shark, Bumblebee is totally prepared to jump the shark.
There you go. There you go. Bumblebee is set to jump the shark. Oh, all righty. Well, moving on to other news. And once again, the amount of times I say movie, Don, you have to take a drink if you're playing at home.
Right.
Revenge of the Fallen, new voice change helmets and RC products. Z Piper.
Yes. So thanks to AllSpark for the heads up about news from the Toy Fair UK program guide about new Transformers products that will be coming our way. If you liked the Optimus Prime voice changing helmets, you'll be glad to know there's two new ones coming for Revenge of the Fallen. So thanks to UK Star Wars fan site JediNews.com, who has posted a scan from the 2009 Toy Fair UK program guide. It covers a lot of industry level information that includes the following tidbit and an all-new Transformers voice changer helmet. So Transformers and Star Wars will also feature in the new vehicle ranges, as well as two Transformers RCs. RPMs are robot-powered machines. I don't really know what those are. Cars with robots molded onto the bottom. All right. Sold in two packs. There will also be a track set. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, what I just read. So... hopefully those of you who might be a little bit more in the know will understand what I just said.
Well, I think we also have more information, so reading. There's the second story pertains to the first one. So
yeah, so there's the voice-changing helmets and plasma cannon blaster. So thanks again to Asian toy shop Red Mercury, who has posted more solicitations for the Revenge of the Fallen products. New listings offer a word about the Bumblebee plasma cannon returning, as well as more details details on the new voice-changing helmets we just reported on. So according to the product listing, translated from Japanese, the Optimus Prime helmet will feature battle damage to the painting. Sounds like they'll be continuing with the battle-worn look we've seen already on the Empire magazine cover. And the Prime helmet is going to be about $55 US and should be out May 30th. For $40 US. Oh, so I guess if you want to order from Japan, it's $55 US. There's more than one helmet that meets the head this year. Now fans can roll out as Bumblebee too. Yay! According to the translated product listing, it includes the ability to mix voice and other sounds of the radio. So you can get the transformation sounds of Bumblebee's helmet. Okay, great. definitely looking forward to checking that out. And the Bumblebee voice changer will list for the same price as the Prime changer. And in case you were all worried as much as we were, the blasters will be back. Oh, thank you, God. There's a listing for Bumblebee's plasma cannon, mentioning something about changing from cannon to robot hand. So most likely it would be the same as Bumblebee's all-spark blaster that appeared at the very end of the 2007 toy line. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. The voice-changing stuff, if it actually was different, but all the voice-changing stuff from day one is used, like, in my opinion, the same, like, voice chip that does the same two modulations on the voice.
Right.
So, I mean, unless they're really coming at us with something new and interesting to make it sound really kind of unusual, I mean, I don't know. I'm just
expecting.
Well,
I think that if there's a way that this article says where it mixes up the radio sound effects, that'd be kind of cool. But, you know, I mean, how complicated can it get for kids, you know?
Oh, I know. Everything I've heard so far has just been like any of that, like, you know, home garage band stuff where you just apply some reverb to it, put it on arena setting, and then, you know, just play it.
It'd be cool if there was like a ton of different things you can do with it. Like, you know, you had like, you know, 50 different things and it cycled through. But, you know, a lot of these things only have like one, two, three things that maybe the helmet says and then the voice changing thing. It's like, well, I think we could put a lot more into the chip that you can cycle through now at this stage of the game. You know, maybe 50 different things would be nice, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, and I'm looking at it from the, you know, eye of an older person as opposed to a little kid that, you know, might, you know, has never seen 50 versions of voice changers before. And so, you know, they'd be cool with that.
You're a cantankerous old man, D. Piper.
Yeah. Get those things off my lawn.
We're back in my day. We had to do our own voice change.
Seriously.
All right.
Stick my head in a, you know, sink full of water, and that's how I'd get to be the sea spray.
You just gave me a perfect opener for doing my sea spray voice.
I know, and I'm actually stabbing myself in the thigh.
Why'd you do that?
I need to be.
That's funny. Like handing a fire to a kid. You know, that's just, you know, just stick your finger in the electrical socket. Why'd you do that?
Yeah, after this podcast, I'll be ironing my hands and suffocating.
All right. Well, Ultimate Class Bumblebee to get a makeover for Revenge of the Fallen. Asian toy shop Red Mercury has posted a solicitation on their website for a new edition of Transformers 2007 Ultimate Class Bumblebee action figure. The new release will feature a new head that includes a sculpted head and a battle mask that was shown in the film. The published images show how the prototype versions of the new robot head is in both modes. The new Ultimate Bumblebee is listed with a selling price of $150 US. Since this is listed as a Hasbro product, it is likely we will see these in stores on May 30th or something closer to $90 to $100 US. And all in all, the toy itself looks pretty good. It looks like they just changed the head.
Right. I mean, it looks good. Now, is this metal to justify the $150 cost, or is this plastic?
I don't know, but it's Ultimate. I don't remember what the Ultimate Bumblebee was, and I never picked up most of the movie toys, I have to admit. But you used to say this thing was pretty tall, if I remember correctly. The Ultimate Bumblebee stood at least a good, you know, foot and a half.
Really, that big?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was a pretty darn tall toy. I'm sure the fans out there can help correct me there. Was it metal diecast or was it plastic? Send your thoughts to the TFormers.com forums. Or you can always write us at podcast@tformers.com. So, moving on, we also have new images of the two Universe Ratchets and Universe Hotshot. Thanks to Yizai 521, we have new angles of Transformers Universe and Henkei Ratchet and Transformers Universe Hotshot figures. The images provide a nice comparison of the differences between the Hasbro and Takara Tomy versions of the Ratchet figure, including stripes, light bar, and even the weapon. The Universe version of the Ratchet figure itself seems to have a bit more detail this time around. The figure has stripes designed on the hood as well as additional stripes running along the side of the vehicle. However, the U.S. loses all the weapons portion. We get a red-only design with the Takara Tomy decided to make this a bit more shiny. Another major difference between the two figures is the light bar will be in blue in the U.S. and red in Japan. As for Hotshot, pretty much business as usual. The new angle of the figure gives us a look at the guts while in vehicle mode. So, out of these two versions, which one would you pick up?
Well, if I had the means, I would take the Takara Tomy weapon and the vehicle mode of the Hasbro one. Yeah. So, I mean, eventually that can become a reality as people buy both and kids break various things and certain parts show up on the market. But yeah, I mean, I like the extra detail. I do like the extra pinstriping and the blue, siren up top a little more. The weapon is – it's just a hunk of red plastic in the one version, and that's pretty lame.
Yeah, well, I think that was a homage to Ironhide's little his weapon in the original series when this was – you know, the original mold was Ironhide. So
See, to me, you know, if you're going to do, you know, an homage to something, do it something that we'd like to see. I mean – like, oh, would you rather have a homage weapon or a really kick-ass looking cool weapon? Like, I'd rather have a really kick-ass looking cool looking cool weapon, actually.
Am I saying that right? Is it a homage or homage?
Most Americans pronounce it homage, but if I recall, the French pronunciation is you can the H can be silent like homage.
Okay, so either way,
I believe that. You know, and again, you know, the true linguists out there could possibly correct me, but I believe the correct pronunciation is homage. Okay. But Americans are like, you know, it's not, there's an H in it, so we're going to pronounce it.
Right. All right. Well, if we have any linguistics people out there, once again, send us your feedback. All right, moving on to comic news. Second Revenge of the Fallen prequel Defiance number one cover.
And yes, so IDW Publishing's Chris Mowry has posted an entry on his blog talking about the setting for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen movie prequel Defiance, which is slated to kick off its run next week, January 21st. So Mowry writes that he'd like to, quote-unquote, finally fill everyone in on the setting for the Defiance series. The series takes place before the events of the first Transformers movie, his blog entry reads. It expands on the events from the first movie and this summer's sequel. If all goes well, it'll help expand upon the movie universe and set the stage for future stories as well. So he continues that it's an origin that's a bit different. Cybertron isn't the same planet that we know. It's flourishing. Characters are working together and not killing one another, and the society is based upon peace and the expansion of their knowledge. Megatron serves as the planet's protector. With his soldiers, the planet has enjoyed peace for a long time. Optimus heads up the science and construction division, and he's the blue-collar character who will eventually find himself thrust into a situation that he's never been in before. It's a different time and a very different place, but it all goes horribly wrong. It's a very ambitious story and one that I hope people will enjoy. Josh Perez will once again be doing the colors, and I can't say how much I enjoy working with him. He's so full of energy, and it really shows. Dan Khanna, a newcomer, and Andrew Griffith are handling the art chores, and they've been doing great. There's some awesome stuff in there. Also, Denton Tipton has revealed that Don Figuera, the fan favorite Transformers artist, will mark his reappearance to the Transformers drawing universe with the third issue of the series. So that's good news for some fans. He will be taking over the duties of Mr. Khanna and Mr. Griffith for the issue. It is unknown if he will continue for the rest of the series or if it's just a guest appearance. On top of the revelation, Mr. Tipton also provided an extremely high-res sneak peek of the art in issue 3. To quote again, Defiance has also allowed me to work with someone I've always dreamt of working with. He writes in his above-referenced blog entry. Mowry also tells us that there may be a 5-page preview of issue number 1 quite soon. When that is available, we will bring it to you. So there you go. So interesting. A totally different little universe where everybody loves each other. kudos for trying something new, but horribly wrong part, then we might be back to business as usual.
Well, I think this is sort of the backstory of how in the movie line Megatron turned into a bad guy and basically became the evil schmuck that we all know he is now. So
right. So yeah, I mean that could be that'd be good.
So, I mean, you basically have the backstory of how Cybertron became, so corrupt and whatnot. So, but I have to say, I'm looking at some of the artwork now. I mean, the artwork is very, very nice in terms of, just colors and look and feel. Comics in themselves, I mean, this goes without saying, but comics themselves have come a long way since the days of, press printing and stuff. And, it's the art on it is just phenomenal.
Oh, I agree. And one thing, at least from this series of sample images that I'm seeing, is that you can tell what's going on in each of the frames.
Right.
It always bugged me with the comics where it's like they would get so art intensive and just kind of lose composition and the flow of your eye. And you can't even hardly tell what's going on in the frame. And at least these, to me, look, at least again, the small sampling, looks like they actually worried about composition, which, sadly, a lot of artists, when they get a little excited with something big going on, don't do.
Composition is a good thing.
Indeed.
We also have an interview behind the scenes with Shane McCarthy on All Hail Megatron, Transformers comics blog, OneShallStand.com. Has posted an interview with IDW's All Hail Megatron author Shane McCarthy. The interview offers fans insight into the making of the series, the reaction from fans, how it all fits in the Transformers universe, and all more than meets the eye stuff to the Decepticon leader. Check out the interview that gives you the behind the scenes and some spoilers at OneShallStand.com. All over the place today for some strange reason. I actually read the interview. It's kind of interesting. It talks about how the All Hail Megatron series has polarized a lot of fans. Some complaints that the first 3 issues, there wasn't much going on. Some of the renderings returning to the original 80s version of the character. So it's actually quite interesting. And he actually lives kind of far away, and how he has to get things to Hasbro quickly. And he talks about, conversing over, the continents and stuff. So check that out if you guys get a chance.
Right on.
We also have miscellaneous news. So we were talking last week about the child lead law, and the secondhand stores are exempt from the child lead law, which would make it illegal to resell toys that haven't been certified as lead free. The government is saying thrift stores that sell used toys do not have to test and certify their products for low lead levels, MSNBC reports. However, the new law does say used toy stores cannot sell items above the allotted lead amount. If they do so, they can face civil or criminal penalties. The act is scheduled to go into effect February 10, 2009. Several manufacturers last year recalled numerous toys due to excessive levels of lead than the law allows. That does not impact Hasbro Incorporated. Current figures, which launched a campaign last year to advertise that the company has not recalled a single toy, but it's unknown what levels of lead their vintage figures contain. Therefore, please be be careful when purchasing vintage toys for your children. We don't recommend that kind of maniacal thinking, though. So I think you'll be fine if you're going to be purchasing stuff on eBay. What do you
think? Well, and that's what I was saying last week. That, like, to me, this is just another, you know, everything's got to be bright orange and nerfed and round corners because, God forbid, our children actually get to boo-boo. You know, these are the toys we played with growing up. Now, I understand the ones that were made, you know, again, back in the 50s and 60s in the, you know, era of asbestos. You know, I got that.
Right.
But as far as the stuff that we played with, mainly in like the 80s and whatnot, with but rare exception, or if your parents bought like the cheap slave labor toys from China back in those days, then it's fine. Right. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. It's like if I – not that I have a kid right now, but if I
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, if I had a kid right now, if I got a vintage Transformer, if I actually felt like spending the money for a vintage Transformer only to give it to a child, I would be comfortable doing that. You know, I mean, it's fine.
Well, the majority of people that are going to be buying vintage stuff are not going to be kids anyhow.
Right. It's the adults. And it's like, you know, if the lead in the toy doesn't kill you, then the carbon monoxide in the air is going to kill you, or the chemicals in the processed food. So it's like, don't do anything stupid and, you know –
Exercise common sense. Is common sense too hard to find these days?
It's like a lot of this stuff just hits me as the same thing that those sensationalist newsmongers do, where it's like, could eating tomatoes help cure cancer or, you know, help prevent cancer? It's like, oh my God, eating well and exercise, doing well for a body? I'm glad you commissioned a study on that. Thank you.
Could swallowing nails be hazardous to your health? More news at 11.
Yeah.
Jeez. There is something that's going to kill you right now in your own home. We'll tell you what it is at 11.
Yep. Your children are in danger. Find out tonight how. Yeah. Okay, great.
Whew. All right, folks. Well, we did have one email sent to us from Patty. Wanted to know about getting to BotCon 2009. And he writes to us from Dayton, Ohio. And I'm not going to read the email, but I'm just going to say, Pat, in terms of the best fairs, I have found that Yahoo Fairs has the best search and search feature for finding out all the fares from the various airlines because it does a search for all the websites. So in terms of getting to BotCon 2009, I would say check out Yahoo Fairs, and they'll probably pretty much give you all the things you need to know. Now, you know, we're not sponsoring Yahoo Fairs. This is just my personal opinion, but go check them out for figuring out how to get to BotCon 2009.
Yes, and it goes without saying that as far as travel arrangements are concerned, earlier is better and most of the time cheaper. So if you know you've got some vacation time and definitely want to go, try to line up those fares sooner rather than later.
All righty then. All right, folks. Well, that's the news for this week. Once again, check out our forums at tformers.com and send us feedback. You can also write to us at podcast@tformers.com. And this is Iron High 1975.
And Zip Piper.
Have a good week, folks.
Me, Grimlock, and Stealthy Fighter.
The TFormers.com podcast is copyrighted 2008. TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Please check them out at myspace.com/gravity33. Leave us feedback at podcast@TFormers.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved. All right, well, we have one late-breaking item. First looks at Revenge of the Fallen Audi R8 action figure. And thanks to Tayo Bo, seller, who has shared more images with us, we have very first looks at the Transformers sequel, Revenge of the Fallen Audi R8 Deluxe action figure. Rumors have been flying around that this Audi... I'm sorry.
Audi.
Rumors have been flying about... Let me do this again. Starting... Even when you say one word, it's so condescending.
I was consciously being condescending there.
You're like, Audi.
I only get been out of shape when people are like, dude, you're being a jerk. I'm like, I'm just correcting you. I'm trying to help you, bro. But no, that time I was like, Audi, jerk.
Oh, God, now you've completely stumbled me. Oh. Give me a minute to compose here.
This will be a part of the show that will be edited out.
Oh, no, I'm keeping this in now.
Great.
All right.
You ready to read there, Sporty?
You know what? Why don't you go to the front page and read it for me since you're so good? No, I'm going to do this. Damn it. I'm going to do this. First looks at Revenge of the
Come on, baby. Gold star. Take your time. You can do it. Be a winner.
All right. First look at the Revenge of the Fallen Audi. How do you say it?
Audi is the car manufacturer.
First looks at Revenge of the Fallen Audi. Audi.
How about we save this for next week when you might be a bit better composed? It's a Transformer. It's an Audi. Yay! Okay, story over. I apologize sincerely for this, folks. All right.
First look at Revenge of the Fallen. You know what we're going to say? It's for next.
Pretty silver car.
I'm going to list this as the outtake at the end because this is just too funny. But I can't pronounce it.